Blog Talk Radio.
If tomorrow all the things were gone, I'd work for all my life, and I had to start again. With just my children and my wife, I thank my lucky stars to be living here today. 'Cause the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today. 'Cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston and New York to LA, well, there's pride in every American heart, and it's time we stand and say. Proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today. 'Cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. Proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the man who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today. 'Cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the
Superstar. What's going on tonight? You know, God bless the USA. What a wonderful night at barbecue. A wonderful night to be an American. You know, folks, that's one thing we all can say. Don't worry about your politics. I don't care about that. I just care about the fact that we're all U.S. citizens and we all live in the United States. And, you know, it's like old Johnny Cash was singing the other day when I did the veteran song. Come along and ride this train. You know, America's a big train, and it goes from shore to shore, from east to west, north to south, south to north. There's a lot of area. And you know what? This land is our land. This land is our land. And that's one thing we never need to lose sight on. And if we all band together and work together, we can make it better. And that's what barbecue it's all about. It's about making our land, this land, better. And just want to give everybody a big old invitation tonight. I hope you're having a great night tonight. It's Friday night. It's Friday Night Lights on Barbecue Superstar. And, man, a lot of big things happened today. Now, Spike TV called me up about 3:34 o'clock and let me know that they're having a casting call. And you are welcome to join in, put your paperwork in, and try to get on to Spike TV, which I don't think it'll be that hard. I think you can get out there and paperwork in, and you'll probably be taken up. This is Fight TV's first food show. It's going to be a competition show. If you can cook good, then you can qualify to get on the Spike Television's new television show. Now, Spike TV is from Spike Lee. Spike Lee made his own television show the same way that Barbecue Superstars is endeavoring to become a television station, just like Spike Lee TV. We're going to be Barbecue Superstars Television. Cable channel number 888 or cable channel number whatever. We definitely want to try to get a 24-hour television network together. That is our goal. And we do have some partners that are coming on board. And if we can accomplish this, putting this 24-hour television cable network on, we sure will be happy to put you on it. Now, we want to make barbecue cooks, barbecue competition cooks, the center of attention on Barbecue Superstars Television Network. So if you're interested in getting on our television now, you're more than welcome. Let's all band together. We've got some Food Network people who have already come on board, and we've got more knocking on the door. But nonetheless, we'd like barbecue teams and barbecue people to be on Barbecue Superstars. You're our first choice. And I tell you, it's been a battle to get going because, you know, television, entertainment networks, everybody wants to be in it. Everybody wants to be on it. And understandably so. You know, I mean, big money, big television, big publicity, big fun. It's a lot of fun. And I tell you what, folks, now you can write this down. An interview on Barbecue Superstars can be your ticket to getting on national television. Now, you know, if I'm out of the competition, you need to stop me. You need to get me to do an interview with you so I can put it up on Barbecue Superstars because, folks, Barbecue Superstars is becoming the main casting call for all these cable networks' television shows. And they're watching these videos, and then they're waiting on you to apply. So if you've ever done a video with Barbecue Superstars, you know, one of those interviews where, hey, this is Daryl from Barbecue Superstars, and we're here today with Smoking Guns, you know, whoever, whatever team, then they're watching you on these videos and wanting to get in touch with you. But most of them want you to apply. When they see your name and they see the video that you did with me, they're probably going to give you a call. So big time news. I didn't know all this was going to happen when I started Barbecue Superstars, but I'm daggone sure glad that it did. And, you know, God was leading me the whole time I was out there shooting Barbecue Superstars and putting all you teams on television. God led me to the right place. Few, get out there and get on national cable networks and local television. And I'll tell you what, it has worked out very nicely. And, you know, Danny Evans at the Jack Daniels said, don't you ever get tired of broadcasting? And, you know, made this little thing of me putting the mic up to somebody and talking to them. And you know what, folks? Supporting and helping the barbecue team is something I'll never get tired of because that's what I'm here for. I'm here to promote you barbecue teams to make you stronger, to make you better, because supporting the barbecue teams is what makes barbecue strong. Barbecue teams are the cutting edge of the whole situation that we find ourselves in with barbecue. And, you know, it's not the sanctioned body, and it's not the guy over here to the left and the guy over here to the right. It's the teams. When you load up your trailer and you pull out, you go to that competition. You are the cutting edge of barbecue, and you are helping all of us promote the industry. So I want to give a big shout-out to Jim Berg, Killer Bees, our barbecue team of the year this year. Fantastic job. Jim Berg has really distinguished himself this year as a top-tier, number one competition team, Southern Barbecue Network, KCBS. I tell you, he won the Southern Barbecue Network Team of the Year really before he even got started good this year. He swept three of their competitions, all the categories, and won the grand. He even had a backyard team, and in a few of those competitions, swept the backyard categories and won the grand. And I tell you, not many people have ever fielded a backyard team and a pro team and swept the whole competition. That is just crazy, unbelievable. And now our barbecue person of the year this year, we want to congratulate Dana L. Hillis. Without a doubt, that man has worked really, really hard this year. He built his own building. He got his own competition school, his own backyard school. He has done a lot of building for Big Papa's Country Kitchen. And he's got a class coming up soon. BBQ, let's see, www.bigpapascountrykitchen.com. He has got a competition school out, and if you go to the FBA, Florida Barbecue Association's website, you'll find a listing on one of their events for his barbecue class, what I thought was really great. You know, he actually got his own slot like a competition for his barbecue class. That shows you what kind of wonderful people are running the Florida Barbecue Association. Now, Florida Barbecue Association really hails, you know, the best judging and guaranteed results. You don't ever hear at a Florida Barbecue Association where they lost a turn-in, lost somebody's complete competition from the scorecards. Usually, always. When you watch an FBA competition, everybody gets credit for competing. It's not like they actually lose a box at a competition. And set up well, run well, Florida Barbecue Association is a fantastic sanctioning body. And, you know, if you want a competition that's run smoothly, done well, get in touch with www.fba.com, FBBQA.com, Florida Barbecue Association, and change over. Convert your contest. Get yourself some great sanctioning going. Got a great scoring structure, everything you need to do a great barbecue contest. The Florida Barbecue Association can get you there. Now, we are offering this year gift packages for buying memberships. You know, if you want to buy a membership to Barbecue Superstars, which seems like a really paramount thing to do, I'll try to come down to wherever you're at, and we'll do a big-time video so you can get in front of these big networks and their casting calls. Buy yourself a membership or buy it as a gift. Buy somebody a membership. And now, whenever you buy someone a membership, eventually I'll need an email with their address. Really just their address and their email. And that way, if I ever do get some huge sponsorship, every member of Barbecue Superstars will receive sponsorship for their barbecue team. I plan on sponsoring as many teams as I possibly can. With 50% of any sponsorship that comes in, I still make that pledge to every team out there. And, we want to put you teams in business so you can go about the business of promoting barbecue in the United States and around the world. And that's the thing. The barbecue teams have the attention of the world. And don't ever doubt them teams out there want to be you. They do. Well, the spectators and the people watching barbecue competitions, they want to be you. I mean, they love what you're doing. They're excited about what you're doing. They want to do it too. And that's what is making all these sanctioned bodies around the world pop up. Norway's got one. Britain has had one for a long time. Australia, Germany. These guys are coming up with a sanctioned body for their country. Now, really, you know, a lot of these countries are equal to one of our states, but all these state countries of Europe, and, I see it going into Asia, too, are wanting to start their own sanctioned bodies for their country. And these champions then want to come over and compete in our biggest championships. And, I think that's really amazing. I think that's an awesome thing. And just think about that. Now, you know, the whole power of barbecue is really one thing when you're cooking. You know, the power of barbecue is the smoke. You know, when you crank up that Hog County cooker like Chris Chadwick of Hog County, or you crank up that Franken Cube like Frank Cox of Smokeability.com, or you crank up that Gravity Flow like Deep South Smokers, Randall Bowman down there in Georgia, there's a certain smell of blue smoke. I mean, championship smoke is not that white puffy smoke. Championship smoke is blue smoke, almost clear with a little blue tint to it. Boy, that's some good smoke. Now, when that championship smoke comes up out of that cooker, it exudes a certain smell. It exudes a certain emotional response. It is something that calms people down and makes you feel like you're at home. And, you know, it's just like coming around the corner and the fireplace is on and you smell that wood burning. You know, when that wood's burning, it makes you feel like you're at home. Well, add that good pork or that good chicken or that good brisket or just some beef to that with a little bit of seasoning and rub on it. That just makes the whole world a wonderful place. And that's what barbecue brings, folks. And, you know, it's like famous Dave said, you know, he said, barbecue is powerful because it crosses all socioeconomic lines, it crosses all kinds of lines. You know, every barrier that is in our society where one person feels separate from another person, that's all crossed when you start cooking barbecue, folks. And I tell you what, the teams are the cutting edge of that force. And we appreciate every team that loads up every week. We appreciate everybody that does catering and vending and has a barbecue restaurant. And, you know, people at barbecue restaurants really work hard. You know, it's a 24-hour day, 7-day-a-week venture to keep a barbecue restaurant going. And, you know, case in point, there's a man in Texas, Backyard Barbecue in Dallas. And that man has for 35 years run that one barbecue restaurant. Now, he started that the same time Sonny's and Sonny's and the other one became huge chains. We've got two, one in Greer, one in Inman right now, of the one that starts with a D. And he decided that he couldn't control the quality of the barbecue if he did a chain. And, you know, I really look up to that man. Now, he did a radio show with him. We hung out at his place about 3 hours. We did a two-hour radio show. We talked about how he got started and how he ran that place. He had a black fellow with him that had worked with him for 35 years, and he had four cookers in the back that looked like trains, sort of. They were a little bit different. They were conveyors, you know. They had the shells on them that rotated in it, but they were just big square boxes with a rooftop on it, but they were all made out of the same solid steel. And for 35 years, him and that fella ran those cookers and ran Backyard Barbecue in Dallas. And, you know, that, to me right there, I mean, that's an American story. That guy is a hero. And I guarantee you what, the quality of his barbecue always stayed good. The quality of his barbecue was always top-notch. He did an excellent job of making barbecue for a lifetime in that location. And, you know, what was so cool is we went up there, and there was five of his friends sitting around a table, and it's on the video. And for 35 years, his high school buddies, he went to elementary and college with some of these guys, and they were talking about the football games and the different things of their life, and he did this and he did that. And, you know, it was almost like being in Cheers, you know. The guys came into the bar, and they did the same way every time. And, you know, you can't get any better than that. You can't live a better American lifestyle than that. And you know what? My hat's off to him, and my hat's off to every single person in this country who has lived a life like that. And we got a big star coming on right now, Frank Cox from SmokerBuilder.com, SmokerPlans.net, and Iron Man Cookers. And I tell you, he's the one that came out with this massive Franken cube.
What's that?
Frank, what's up, buddy?
Not much, brother. What did I come out with?
The Franken cube.
Oh, yeah, the Franken cube. Yeah, I was trying to listen on Blog Talk, but I'm driving, so I guess I guess my phone is goofing up. But anyway, how you doing, Brother Daryl?
Hey, I'm doing good, man. Did you come out with the Franken cube?
Yes, I did.
Oh, okay.
I came out with it, yeah, and it is I'm actually in the middle of a revision on that. I've got 25 of them that I'm supposed to be building right now that I've actually put the brakes on because I got a little upgrade I want to do before I put any more of them out. But, man, there's a lot of interest. People really like it. You got a lot of cooking room on that cooker, you know. Chris Salisbury, my buddy down in North Carolina, Pretty Vegas Cookers, he's been cooking competitions on them. And, man, he absolutely loves his. I don't know. I know he's a daily watcher on the show. I don't know if he's listening to the radio or not tonight. But I know he sure likes it. He's actually a product tester for me. Means he bought serial number 00001. I put him up there on the board as one of the product testers that I have. And man, that guy's full of good ideas. But anyway... So anybody else on the line with us? I wasn't able to listen on the Blog Talk, so I don't know who else is on here.
No, it's just you.
Just you and me, buddy. So,
how about that?
Well,
how
about
you,
that?
How'd the bivouac go, man? I know you had a big contest this week, and I just wondered how it all went.
I got to tell you, I had such a good time. I love working a barbecue contest, you know, but this is my first time ever organizing, co-organizing. I called him the CO, but my buddy JT Seibert down there, he actually is in charge of the maintenance department at the Missouri Veterans Home in St. James. And it was kind of his deal to kind of pick it up and run with it, along with Tara Peters and Mark down there as well. Mark is the administrator, and you know, the team that they put together, I just can't tell you enough how awesome they did. But after the contest was paid for, prize money paid out, all the overhead associated with the contest, including renting porta potties and all the cost of it, after everything was done, there was $10,000 plus donated to the Missouri Veterans Assistance League. And so they, on a first-year contest, that's unheard of, as far as I know, for a contest to be that profitable. So I got to say thank you to everybody that came and cooked it and everybody that bought raffle tickets for the cooker and all the things that we did. But, man, it was a great time. I don't know if you got to see any of the posts or not that we've been posting about it. But are you still there? Did I lose you?
No, yeah, we're here.
Oh, okay. I thought I lost you. because I'm going through a bad spot. But anyway, yeah, it was a fun time. We had 34 teams that came down, KCBS teams. And, you know, there was two other big contests going, the Kingsford Invitational out on, you know, one of the Navy carriers out there in New York was going on. Mark Lambert went out there. You know, Darren Worth, Smokey D's, and all them guys went out there. And then there was another big contest in Las Vegas, you know, the World Food Championships. Brother Victor from down and George from down there at Pitmaker, they all went down there. And I got to say congratulations to them. They won it with an amazing rib platter. They won the whole deal. So, and then Chicago Q, she was first runner-up, so congratulations to her. But, you know, so if they weren't at those two contests, I think there might have been a couple other little ones, but if they weren't out there, they were at our contest. And, you know, True Bud was there. American Dream was there. Fire Dancer, that's a big Midwest team. Blue Bloods was up there. You know, Burn at Both Ends, Caveman Cuisine, all these guys that are in this big chicken race. Whiskey Pit came out. Whiskey Bent was out in Las Vegas, but Whiskey Pit was at our contest. And, you know, there's a bunch of other ones there. And True Bud got Reserve Grand and Blue Bloods from down in Louisiana. They GC'd the contest. And, you know, it was a good time. It was a learning experience for me. You know, it was so laid back. I expected it to be a lot. You know, on the organizing end, I expected it to be a lot more hectic, you know, since they've got so many people on staff down there that work full time at the veterans home. You know, they were on payroll out there handling the contest. So, you know, some of them were. And so it just really made it easy, you know. And it was on Veterans Weekend. That's another big deal is that, you know, it was on Veterans Weekend. You know, Veterans Day was Monday. And so it was great to be able to, on that weekend, hold a contest in honor of them and give back to them for, you know, for what they did, you know, laying their lives down for their country and making the life that we have possible, you know. So
yeah, boy, that's awesome, man. You know what? A Veterans Day contest on Veterans Day weekend, and veterans and the people who run a veterans home running the contest, that's really like total impact. That's awesome, man. And
then raising, you know, $10,000 to give back to them.
Yeah, now a lot of contests I've been at that were first year, I bet at least 10 of them, they said, well, we lost money this year. We hope next year we'll make money. And to make $10,000, Frank, man, that's awesome, man.
Yeah, that's good. And what that money pays for, you know, the money that was raised, it goes right back to this assistance league. So the Missouri Veterans Homes in Missouri, there's seven of them. Those are state facilities, but the state government doesn't pay for any of the entertainment or transportation or, you know, any of the, like presents for the veterans, you know, the vehicles to transport them back and forth to the VA hospital or in different clinics and appointments and stuff. And you know, different entertainment that they do. The state doesn't pick any of that up. So the Assistance League is a separate organization that is a 501c3 organization that provides that. And there's a different Assistance League at every veterans home. And so, you know, we were there. They operate strictly based on, you know, donations and charities and things like that, you know. And you know, they do a happy hour for the veterans there for the residents at the veterans home and every day. And so, you know, different things like that. So, you know, this was a great way to help contribute, you know, to pay for another van or whatever they decide to use the money for, you know. It was a big help for them, I'm sure. So we look forward to doing it again next year and hopefully doing one at another location next year as well. We'll see what happens. So.
Yeah, now that fellow you were talking about is a tester for your equipment there. He bought a bag of my charcoal, and he went on
yeah.
the website, bought meat out of the butcher shop. He's like trying to get totally into the Barbecue Superstar Smoker Builder system. And
oh,
that
absolutely.
Guy's got the whole thing out there.
Yeah, and you know, Johnny, I haven't bought any meat from him yet, but he sent a lot of meat out to the World Food Championships. He mentioned off, you know, four or five big names that are buying meat from his store there and that he's supplying. And so if it's good enough for them boys to cook at the World Food Championships on, you know, it ought to be good enough for everybody else's competition too. So I'm going to try to give it a whirl next year, you know, see how it goes. Now, I know I'm pretty excited to try out some Duroc pork. I know that.
Pitmaker's got a store just like me from the same people, and he used that meat and won first place overall, which was almost unbelievable.
Yeah.
Barbecue Guru's got a store like mine, and he made first place ribs. And he had those Hatfield ribs. He won first place, and, man, that's pretty doggone impressive.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. So, you know, I'm really interested in trying to go down south this next year. And, you know, I know that a lot of cooks down there cook baby backs and stuff. And you know, I got to step my game up in pork. So if I'm going to be cooking down south, so, you know, maybe that's the solution for me. But, you know, I'm working with starting IBCA, moving north up here into Missouri. Do you know that?
Yeah, you're going to have your own contest along with the fellow who took, let's see now, what did he win down at the Jack? He won first place something. First place ribs.
Ribs. Yep.
Yeah,
yep, Southern Crunk. His contest is coming up. It's currently the farthest north contest in IBCA, as far as I know, in Hot Springs, Arkansas, Randy Hill. He posted a picture last night of all the trophies for his contest, and that's coming up January. I can't remember exactly. I think it's the 14th, that weekend. I'm going to go down there in some fashion, whether it's just to hang out or if it's to cook it or what. But, you know, January, man, that's cold to cook a
it
contest.
It is, man.
But I guess they have a good time, and so he's got the Southern Crunk Barbecue Festivus, and if all the, you know, if everything comes together, I'll have the Northern Crunk Barbecue Festivus here in Rolla, Missouri, somewhere in the spring. I'm still trying to put all the pieces together, but, you know, who knows? I might just quit cooking and start organizing. I had such a good time doing that. That's a lot of fun. I may just start a whole bunch of contests.
Man, that sounds good. I'd love to see you do that. Come out there and film it and keep a score on it. You know, I used to be in Junction City, Kansas. I spent 4 years out there, and I was in the Army. And I don't know if I ever told you this story. And one year, we were supposed to go to New York and do cold weather training in Fort Drum, New York. And somehow it got canceled. We had done it the year before. So we went out in Kansas, and it got 26 below zero, 85 below zero wind chill factor. It was so cold that a lot of our tracks and tanks froze to the ground, at least that's what they call it, and they'd have a big recovery vehicle, 88, they call it 88, come over there and hook the one. He hooked to the tow pendle on the tail, you know, it's like a tailgate or ramp on a M113, and
mm-hmm.
he pulled the ramp off. And then they had a tank. They tried to pull it, and it busted the tracks off the tank. And I tell
Dang.
You what, Missouri, Kansas, man, they, you know, it can get devastatingly cold out there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I went up north last year with my friend Ben up in Kearney, Nebraska, up there on the prairie. And, you know, I always joke, you know, 32 degrees in Missouri compared to 32 degrees up on the prairie, that's two different 32 degrees. You know, it's that howling sheer wind blowing across there on that, you know, flatland up there. And, man, it's cold. I guess it's the wind chill. So yeah, it can get pretty cold. That was middle of March, you know. So.
Oh, wow.
I don't know. It ought to be fun, though. You know, everybody go down there and cook this contest, and hardcore guys is out there. You know, quite a few KCBS cooks go down there and cook Randy's contest. And you know what I find most interesting and why I'm wanting to get more involved in IBCA and kind of help them move north? I like that it's 100% blind. I mean, it's totally blind on the judging. The way that they do their boxes, you know. Have you ever been through? Have you ever heard about that, where they give you the tickets
and they don't even know who the ticket goes to.
No, they got no idea. You have to sign your stub of the ticket to prove that it's yours, and then the other copy goes on the box. And when you turn your box in, they're running off a ticket number. They got no idea whose it is. And then, you know, as it goes through the different stages, you know, the tables, they do a progressive deal, you know. And as it goes through those tables, you know, the first round, the second round, third round, whatever, how many rounds of judging they got, tables, they're just following that number through there. And then they don't have team, they got team names, but they go by the head cook. So, you know, the head cook is the one that they call out that number, and head cook, you know, that's his deal. But another good thing that I like about it is that, you know, you don't have all this appearance score. It's just taken into consideration, you know, the color of the meat, if it looks palatable, that kind of thing, at the judging table, instead of going through an appearance score on where you've got, you know, other factors like, you know, the garnish in the box. You know, it's so confusing for new judges coming in on KCBS to look at a box full of, like, whether it's got lettuce or parsley, or if they like the arrangement of the parsley. After all, they're not supposed to judge on the garnish, just on the, you know, on the meat itself. The garnish's purpose is to make the box pop. Well, that never happens. You know, most judges judge based on, you know, the arrangement of the food in the box and, you know, things like that. And so that's all taken out. You know, you don't have that with, you know, with IBCA. It's, you got a half chicken in the box, you know, or whatever the category is. And I think it just levels the playing field quite a bit on that. So,
you know, I'll tell you now, I've done a presentation twice on that half chicken deal, and you know, you got three parts. You got the leg quarter, you got the breast, and you got the wing, and that wing tip. The wing tip, you know, the big deal is it's got to stay on. You know, some of these chickens, you know, they'll have a partial cut, or they'll have a, or it's not very thick. You know, if a wing tip's not thick and it cooks, it gets hard and brittle, it'll fall off. Well, that's a DQ. So, you know, it's almost like cooking a whole hog in a miniature sense, because you've got three different parts, three different cooking, you know, whatever, and then plus, you know, you don't have thighs going against legs, going against breasts, going against chicken wings, going against, and really the thighs are the only thing that's going to win, and anybody that's foolish enough to use something else is probably not going to win. So, you know, it's like totally, you know, and Boston Butts are an even playing field. Of course, you got different companies, and Compound Garage, you know, they got some great quality meat. So, you know, and if people come out of Iowa, they're winning so much. Pigskins and Smoking Assassins, which is not winning like they were, but there's Smoky D's, Iowa Smoky D's coming out of Iowa. There's a lot of teams, and they say, well, they've got access to better meat because they got, you know, it's totally a top notch. So there again, you know, there is a little variance, but at least you got 7 or 8 pound Boston butt versus 7 or 8, 9 pound Boston butt. But, you know, in the chicken category, there's so much variance. The IBCA has been good at, number one, that massive double blind that can't be broke. I think it's very, very difficult to break it where people can figure out whose box is what. And then the other thing is, and this is another thing, Frank, you can talk about, is they have the first blind judging. They pick out the top 10, and then they'll come back and have a second judging, blind judging. And, you know, Frank, when you do a blind judging twice in a row, the best box, the best in that category is going to win.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, another thing I like about it is you got one score written down on that sheet. If you look at a judging sheet, you can get there. I'm sure you can find one online, but You don't have, like, you know, a 9 for appearance, a 9 for or 5 or whatever they're going to give you for taste, and then another score for tenderness, because those get so confused, and, you know, with just, you know, it's so subjective, you know, how a judge would confuse taste and tenderness, you know, and that. So at least an unseasoned judge. So with IBCA, you know, you've got it's a 1 through 10, you know, if they loved it, 10, that's what you get, you know? And so
it's not like fought for categories. It's like, hey, this is what this piece is, you know, a 7.2 or something.
Yeah. So each judge, like, you don't, like when you build your box, you don't just give each judge a rib. They actually have a knife and a fork, and they cut a piece off of a rib. So each rib, the way I was told by one of the head judges, is each rib gets cut into 4 pieces, basically. So you got a judge that's going to stick his fork in that rib and cut him off a chunk of that rib, and then he's going to eat that bite. And they're going to stretch that out for all them judgings. And the same box carries between each level of judging. And so they're going to stick that piece of meat. They're going to take that and try it out and see what they think. And then they're going to give you a score based on what they thought about that rib. You know, whether it was edible, good, bad, awesome, whatever. And they're going to give you a number associated with that. And right on the judge's sheet, it gives you the criteria. You know, there's 5 or 6 different things they got written down there for you to take into consideration when you're sampling, you know, when you're judging. And, you know, anybody can judge. And I don't know, I heard that not head cooks, but teammates, I've heard that the teams can be involved in the judging, which throws kind of a red flag to me. You know, I'm not really too cool with that, but and somebody can correct me if I'm wrong, but the head cook cannot judge. But so, like, if you're running short on judges, you know, just anybody can come in here and judge, and is it good barbecue or is it not good barbecue? You know, that's just the way it goes. And
One thing in defense of that is so randomized, you know, they're going to have a hard time. Of course, if their own box comes through, they might know it. But then on the bad side, as an organizer, I mean, you could just decide, you know, for yourself, you're not going to do that.
Yeah, totally. There's a lot of freedom for organizers with that, with IBCA as well, you know. And you're able to be a lot more involved. You know, you've got a head judge that comes down, but you don't have, you know, a set of reps that come in there. And then you got to get, you know, to have a good contest, you got to have so many CBJs. You know, like we had 100% CBJs, and out of those CBJs, you know, a large percentage of them were master judges. And you know, which are judges that have judged 30-plus contests, that have cooked with a team at least one time and taken their final exam to become a master certified judge. And, you know, you just don't have all of that. You got head judges, you know, IBCA head judges, and then you've got experienced judges that will follow contests around in certain areas. But then if you're short on judges, you just bring anybody in there. It's not really a concern, it doesn't sound like to me. So,
well, you know, the thing about certified barbecue judges that judges over 30 contests, you know, as legislated a flavor profile, you know, all the flavor profiles, as far as I'm concerned, that win in the KCBS are very similar. And with that legislated flavor profile, then, of course, you know, clean bite from the bone, clean bite from chicken bone, from a rib bone, and then like the required other things, if a piece of brisket is cut more than 1/8 of an inch, it's overcooked. If you do a 1/4 inch piece, you know, you're going to get a lower score because they're automatically going to say, because of the width, that it's overcooked, which is commonly talked about around the judging table. Now, you know, one thing about a certified barbecue judge who's judged over 30 contests is, to me, it looks like the barbecue cooking schools come more and more into play as deciding flavor profiles, the way stuff is cooked, and the way everything is done. and then you have barbecue cooks out there. Well, that judge doesn't know what's going on. That judge doesn't know how to judge because he's not into what the barbecue school's dictating. You see what I'm saying? So then anybody who doesn't know anything about the barbecue school, but, man, they laid laying down some great barbecue, they don't have a chance in that mix.
Yeah, and when when I took my CBJ class, there was a high percentage of the people in that class that had never been to a barbecue contest, much less cooked in a barbecue contest. And this was their becoming a judge was their introduction to Titian barbecue. And that's a great way for somebody to get in because it doesn't really cost them anything. But right there, that class right there is going to be a deciding factor in what those judges think is good barbecue. You know, it's going to set the tune for them. And then, you know, the first contest they judge is going to set the tune for what they think is good barbecue. And so, as it goes on and then they take more classes and there's so many people cooking exactly the same flavor profile, that's going to dictate, how a contest turns out. So somebody brand new to cooking a contest doesn't have a prayer of because they're not going to have that. They don't know that flavor profile. It takes, quite a lot of research and a lot of time to get in there and find out that Smoking Gun's Hot and Cimarron Doc's, and all the wrap and foil, honey, butter, salt, all that stuff,
absolutely,
sugar and all that in foil, and that's the flavor profile for your ribs, if you don't do that, you're not going to win. And so you don't really have that, it doesn't seem, with IBCA. It's going to be a lot more regional, the flavor profile is, but it's going to be because that's what those people like. If you're from an area, you got a pretty good idea that what it's going to take to cook that, in that area and win. So it's a lot more, I don't know. One guy told me, if I wanted to cook backyard, I'd cook backyard. I wouldn't cook IBCA, but, I don't know. It just seems like a lot more level. I wouldn't say it's necessarily backyard,
Well, Frank, to be frank, that's the one-liner. And, there's always all these one-liners, I'm going to go cook an FBA. Oh, well, that's dirt tracking. I'm going to go cook an IBCA. Oh, that's backyard. They've got these damn one-liners they're throwing all over the place. But, to be honest with you, how much of a damn chance have you got at the KCBS if you haven't paid the $500 or $600 or $1,000 for some of these cats to go down there and learn what the process is to cook each piece of barbecue? And if you go do 20 contests, well, you're going to lose $20,000.
Well,
until you go to the school and pay the money,
I don't know if you remember Gary Howard from the Smoke Ring down there at the Jack. He's Smoke Ring barbecue team, and he was cooking with Victor and George down there at Pitmaker at the Jack.
Yeah.
And he had a thread going the other night on Facebook, and I love seeing threads like this, especially when they're not getting hateful. They're just pretty. Everybody's voicing their opinions, And he had a picture of him cooking on a Weber Smoky Mountain, and everything was wrapped in foil. And he said, does KCBS think this is barbecue or something like that in his post? And, of course, that started a great debate talking about what barbecue, because Gary, he's a purist. He flips his meat. He don't wrap nothing, He puts that meat on that cooker, and he flips it. And he cooks on a Pitmaker vault. And I've had his barbecue, and I got to tell you, it is freaking good. He is a good cook, and you can tell by all them 180s pins on his hat. But he's been cooking a long time. But anyway, as you go through the thread on the Facebook thread that I was watching, down there towards the end, I guess if you really get right down to it, is a butter pan full of chicken, is a butter bath really barbecue or is it braising?
it's
braising, man. And so if you really think about it, if you're going to cook good chicken, KCBS style, we're going to wind up having to put it in a butter bath. I'm sorry. If you're going to get a good score. So
you got to get the fries, you got to, and smoking
that's
guns,
just the way
and
that the,
Texas pepper jelly, you know, top it off with that because you're probably not going to win without it. And, yeah, so IBCA offers, you know, a whole different circumvent to that. But the only problem is the IBCA is not going to be as profitable to cooking schools and people who are dictating, you know, the flavor profile and the
well,
really the
and
competition mantra was it's not going to be as profitable.
Well, and I got to ask you, why not? Why won't it be profitable?
Well,
I mean, it's just because people are used to a certain way. And after all, that's the same as KCBS. You know, judges are used to a certain way. Competition cooks are used to a certain way. You know, that's the whole deal with me here in Missouri is, you know, I'm going to be one of those guys that I'm not going to do it the same way. So,
well, because the playing field's so even, you're not going to have this guy over here who's playing the godfather and dictating the flavor profile. You see what I'm saying?
Well,
so you're
sure.
not going to have to go past him and pay the money in order to be in the mix to even win or have a chance.
Sure. And well, you know, IBCA has a lot. It costs a lot less to enter a contest. You know, I was told an expensive contest is $150, you know, to enter. And KCBS average is $200 to $250. You know, is what a contest averages just for a spot, you know. And it, essentially you're getting the same spot and the same services, whether it's IBCA or KCBS or some other sanctioning body, I imagine. Our contest, we gave out 25-foot by 35-foot spots, which are giant spots for people. And, of course, half of our spots had, you know, 20-amp, 120-volt power available, two outlets, you know, per spot. Or two plugs on the same outlet, you know. And so I don't know. I mean, that's a really nice spot. It's a moneymaker and all that. But I don't see any reason why, you know, if KCBS cooks are already used to paying that for a spot, you know, and there's somebody out there listening that might be thinking about doing a contest in their area, you know, IBCA contest or even KCBS or anything else, you know, If it's all about making money for a charity, don't worry about charging $200 for a spot. You know, if that's what it's going to take for you to be profitable and make your contest a successful contest, you know, Stan Hayes always tells me he's a brilliant man when it comes to running contests and stuff. Their contest, one of the greatest ones I've ever been to. He always tells me, you know, give them a ticket for a free bag of ice, give them a shirt, give them, you know, wine and dine those teams. It's worth $200 when they get wine and dined like that. And, you know, people will come back and be really happy. And I think that was part of the reason why our contest was as successful as it was is, you know, it was all about the teams. You know, we waited hand and foot on those guys, made sure everything was okay, took trash out, brought them water. Don't make them walk 100 yards for water. You know, you got these little buggies running around, you haul it for them, you know. And, that's kind of how we did it, and shoot, I'd pay $200-$250 for a spot like that all day long, you know, for any contest, something like
right.
that. So, yeah. I think it can be more profitable. I think it could be way more profitable than running a KCBS contest for an organizer, just because of what the IBCA sanctioning costs are. They're very, very reasonable, you know.
Wow, so it's a lot less than $4,000 or $5,000.
Oh yeah, to sanction a contest, yeah, it's very cheap. I mean, you've got the expense of getting your rep there, you know, of your not rep but your head judge there, and you got the contest expenses. What would be the same for an IBCA or KCBS or anything else? You got to have a place to have it. You got to have power, water, you know, stuff like that. So entertainment for the kids. You know, all
so
the cost of
it's
doing it.
The strict event cost. So it's not like you got to pay IBCA a whole bunch of money.
No, it's like what I can't remember. So many dollars a team, you know, goes to IBCA, and out of that money, a certain portion of that goes to what's called the pit, which is the local pit, and which a pit is just like a chapter in a club, you know, and so, and then that pit. I don't know how it works exactly, but that money all goes right back to the teams, you know, as extra prize money, in one way or another. So
oh, that's
from the
awesome,
pit, so,
man. IPTA is totally set up for the team's benefit. I mean, it's a team-oriented sanctioning body completely.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Oh, so they're not taking in $12 or $15 million that they use for themselves.
No, I mean, I don't know. There's some stuff that could be improved, you know, with IBCA, but overall, I'm thinking I'm going to have a lot of fun. You know, there's an hour between turn-ins. So.
Oh, there is?
Yeah, there's an hour. You turn in, you go back, take a nap, 30 minutes, get up. Oh, shoot, I got to do ribs, you know, kind of deal.
That's the way the FBA is. The FBA's got an hour in between turn-ins. You know, they're not worried about doing it. Yes, they're worried about really just doing the best quality, absolute best box that you could turn in is their whole focus.
Yeah.
That's totally awesome. Wow. Well, you know, I've been talking about IBCA judging. Now, we were at, Fort Pierce, Florida, down there. We filmed Big Papa's Battle, but they had a chili contest, and it had the IBCA turn-in type turn-ins, and each one of the chili turn-ins had, like, it was like a blue patch, sort of. It actually was about a half inch thick, and it went in against the cup, and the ticket, one side, was inside that half inch patch, and it was like really stuck in the cup. There's no way that that ticket could be moved or looked at or whatever without, like, totally screwing the whole cup up. So that fixture there denied anybody who was going to cheat and look at the ticket. It denied it because that styrofoam cup that the chili was in really wasn't strong enough to hold somebody tamper with it. And then the other ticket was just ripped off, not looked at, and handed to the cook. And they took that chili back to the back, and absolutely no way anybody could look on a list and match up the number on the top of the box and the number that's on the list. It just wasn't available. And then when they came back and did the awards, they read out that ticket number, and everybody, including the guy who read the ticket number, looked around for at least a minute. Who in the world is it? And there, folks, is golden magic. That takes the whole demon out of the process. And I tell you, you would be surprised who would start winning in a competition that's run like that. You would be surprised, because this guy here over here in the corner that ain't ever won nothing, all of a sudden, boom, he done won one, you know, and it gives everybody an equal playing field. And, you know, isn't that what we're really after? I mean, that's the whole crux of why you pull your trailer out. You pay the $1,000. You get in there. It's a lot of hard work. I mean, between Friday night, 7 o'clock, till 2 o'clock on Saturday, you know, Every minute's like, holy camoli, have I got this, I do that, you know, got my timeline, I better, you know, the whole thing. But it's fun, you know, you win. You get gratification because you get up there and you're amongst your peers and you actually won, you know. And Tuffy Stone has been beat before. And for somebody to score over Tuffy Stone at a contest, you know, it's got to make you feel pretty good. You know, you didn't and then to be able to break the mantra, you know, okay, we get the chicken, we get the thigh, we scrape the skin, oh, we got organic, you don't have to scrape it, put it in the butter bath, you know, make sure the skin's aligned right, and smoking guns, you know. Well, all that, I mean, can you imagine, you know, what a world it would be? If, you know.
What a
you
world
know.
It would be.
Yeah.
You know, did you realize that Darren Worth won? Not only did he win, Iowa Smoky D's, not only did he win the American Royal Open, he GC'd that, he won the, didn't he win the Sam's Club down in Bentonville? Did he win that?
No, Killer Bees did.
Jim, Killer Bees won that, okay. Well, he also won the Kingsford Invitational.
Oh, he did?
50,000, bub.
holy, you know what else? He was like in the finals and right up there at the top of the American Food Championship.
Well, yeah, Smokey D's, he was out. That was last weekend, the Kingsford Invitational. He wasn't in Vegas.
Oh, he wasn't in Vegas. Oh, okay.
No, uh-uh. No.
Okay, I got that mixed up. Wow. Man, I tell you, I was Smokey D's.
So,
they're kicking ass. He's really doing good, isn't he?
He's burning it up. So.
Wow. I
yeah,
don't really
that's,
hear much of her.
So Tuffy Stone won all the stuff he won. And then, you know, Smokey D's, he won all the stuff he won. That's some crazy stuff. There's a lot of repeats going on.
Yeah. Yeah, there's, yes. Yeah. And, you know, like in NASCAR or boxing or in the NBA, it always helps the sanctioning body when you have the big champion. You know, when Michael Jordan
mm-hmm.
did his 8 years, 2 years of retirement in the middle, it, you know, even for me, I mean, to be in the fourth quarter, the Bulls are 10 points behind, but here comes Michael Jordan, and he wins the game at the buzzer. You know, I mean, I loved it. I mean, Michael Jordan was the king. And so, the NBA, you know, at that time period, oh, wow, man, Michael Jordan's the king, and the NBA's the king. And then, what was his name? Petty. Richard Petty, you know, during the Richard
yep.
Petty era, you know, that was really the time. Cale Yarborough and Allison, let's see, was it Allison? I just seen his name on. Anyway, they had a fight on the side of the track. And on television, anyway, that's what launched NASCAR was the fight. But as soon as the fight happened, here comes Richard Petty, and he starts David Pearson. David Pearson and Cale Yarborough had a fight on the side of the track. And so here comes Richard Petty, and he wins 200 races. And for that era, Richard Petty, you know, it's just like Magic, you know, passing the torch off to Michael. That champion, for some reason, makes the league more appealing. And
yeah.
So, you know, you get these repeat winners. It's not only a big winner for the winner, it's a big winner for the sanctioning body because you can make that photo moment, and you can set them up in front of everybody and say, don't you wish they were like, I mean, you were like them. So then, you know, we get the whole schools and we get the whole setup of, you know, I don't know what you want to call it, profiteering or what, but because everybody wants to strive to be like them with a dictated mantra of this is how you get there, but you got to practice to figure out how to figure out, you know. And
I wonder,
you know,
if Richard Petty did a driving school.
I don't know. I kind of doubt it.
Well, we got barbecue schools.
Yeah, well, you know, the other thing is we're not dunking basketballs and we're not crossing a finish line per se. You know, what we're talking about is culinary excellence. And to pigeonhole it, you know, barbecue is diverse. Barbecue is six major flavor profile by barbecue sauce, but then by rubs is 50 major flavor profiles. You know, you got your cinnamon rubs, you got your clove rubs, you got your, you know, you got these background flavors that kind of dictate the overall, you know, category or direction of that rub. And then, you know, for the number one thing to be, well, Cimarron Doc, smoking gun hot, you know, you're sort of pigeonholing what it is. Now, you know, you got the argument out there, oh, we're just trying to make the best barbecue there is. Okay. Well, you know, you've got this wide range of lists and so many different ways to go about it. You know, like oak, hickory, pecan, apple, cherry, wood, and then, you know, 20 different types of charcoal, lump versus briquette versus, you know, whatever else. And then you've got offset versus gravity flow versus pellet smoker versus God knows what else there is out there. And So the end products can be, you know, 50 categories wide, but in order to have the best barbecue that there is, you know, these three guys over here are big in the sanctioning body, figured out this, and so everybody's got to do it like that in order to be the champion. To me, you know, and, you know, if the IBCA has figured out a way to even that playing field, which I'm pretty sure they have. Now, the IBCA has 250 contests right now, and I've got assurances from the IBCA top woman up there that they'll sanction a contest anywhere in the world. It don't matter. And I don't think there's another sanctioned body on the planet right now that would be willing to step up to the plate and say, we'll sanction a contest anywhere. But IBCA's got them in Hawaii, to Maine, to now they're going to be up there in northern Missouri. Who knows, you know. I've been tempted to start a pit on the eastern shore, I'll be honest with you. But
do it.
I'm Yeah, I need to do it, man.
There ain't nothing to it. It costs $100. Start a pit. You need,
oh, is that all?
You need $100 and 10 members. That's it.
And 10 members.
Yeah, you just got to have 10 members of your pit and then get a contest going. It's cheap.
Wow. Man. Well, but you know, folks, I tell you out there, I really don't have anything against KCBS. I mean, I can understand people trying to build their brand, put themselves in the center, and everything's about them, for them, and in the end, about them. And that's the American way. You know, the American way is for somebody to build an enterprise or a brand and put me in the middle. And that's not the way I formed Barbecue Superstars. And God bless them. I mean, they've got American Royal. They've got the Houston Livestock Show, and they got the Jack Daniels, you know. And what we're really faced with at this time is everybody's equal in doing their sanctioning throughout the year. But, oh, boy, at the end of the year, KCBS has got the big show. You know, we got the Sam's Club. We got the American Royal, the Sam's Club, the Jack Daniels, the World Food Championship. And so it's the big show at the end. But, you know, quite frankly, I'm looking to level the field. You know what? We need other people to have the big show at the end of the year to get control of the conversation. Because at the end of the year, right now is when everybody's thinking about sponsoring. So when you make yourself the center of the conversation, who's going to grab all the sponsorship? Well, whoever the conversation's about. So these other sanctioned bodies, if you're listening, and I hope you hear this, you got to get a world championship going at the end of the year. If you want to be a serious sanctioning body, then sometime in November, well, really October, and sometime in October, you need to have your own world championship. And how hard is it to put one of those together? Well, reach out to all the other sanctioning bodies. Well, if you don't want to do the same three, why don't you come down here and do one with us? And I tell you, you might be surprised at how much activity and interest you get as soon as you prick the head of that one. And we need alternatives. We do need alternatives because, you know, cooking the same thigh and the same butter with the same hot smoking, you know, it's just the same thing over and over again. And hey, nothing against them. Get out there and fly, you know. You might want to say bad things about me, but you know what? I don't think it's that bad. You know, I think that they've taken it as far as they can. I think there's things that's tripping them up now, unfortunately, and will trip them up in the future. But I don't wish them any harm. And Frank, we appreciate you calling in tonight, and thanks a lot for.
Yeah, buddy.
So no Frank and Cubes right now. Let's hold off on that.
No, I'm building them up. We start another round on Monday is when we start cranking them out. So I ought to have 20 of them done, I don't know, pretty quick here. So if you get your order in right away, I'd the new system ought to be ready to roll hopefully by Monday or Tuesday. I'll have that new the new guts for it. But yeah, get your order in right away and you'll get to get one out of this first round. So you can go right to ironmancookers.com, look for the FrankenCube tab right there, and there's instructions right there how to order it. So
one thing I like to put on top of that, now I've seen them all, been with them all, shot them all, hung out with them all, been at barbecue competition with them all. I've seen every cooker from start to finish out at barbecue competitions, because for the last 3 years, quite frankly, I've traveled to every sanctioned body in the country, and you know, gravity flows have taken it for a long time because they offered that consistent temperature with a barbecue guru or a stoker. And then now the pellet cookers are moving in, which we always had Fast Eddies, but now you've got Green Mountain, Louisiana Grills. There's a whole bunch of – well, they have the same consistent temperature, but you don't have to push around a 2,000-pound hoss. So now a lot of people are going to these pellet cookers now. But, you know, moving on with the evolution of trying to get, you know, the best combination of good controlled temperature, ease of lighting, ease of working with it. You know, the thing about this FrankenCube is, just like today, I went out to the UDS out here that Frank gave me. I'm starting to get into the rhythm of putting the same half a bag of charcoal in it, lighting it the same way, and it comes to the same 300 degrees, and it stays there all day. And after I get done doing the show, I put the air vents at the same place, no barbecue guru, and I leave it. I go do whatever I got to do. And I come back at night, the food's done. The food's hell yeah good. I mean, it's awesome. And now the thing about the pellet cooker over here and the gravity flow and what Frank, this next step of evolution that he's got is, pellet cooker is $1,700 to $3,000. The gravity flow is $3,000 to $20,000 or $30,000. And then you've got Frank's over here. Now, watch this. Now, cause $499. Now, I said that right. Now, let me say it again. $1,700 to $3,000, $3,000 to $30,000, $20,000. Frank can deliver the same thing without the $500 guru. Now, if you're good enough, you can do that. And if you practice, you can get there for $499. And Frank, man, you know, how in the world did you come up with this?
Just keen observation, lots of failures, and just, you know, smokerbuilder.com. That's how it all came together. So, you know, there's this keep it simple, stupid, right? That's what they always said. So the KISS method, and there's a lot to be said for simplicity. You know, I've got this, I just bought another trailer here the other day, and that's going to be my Commando barbecue trailer, I keep telling people. That's my little trailer that I can hook up to, and I can jet out of the state, and I can go to some other state and cook a contest, you know, and be there and done and gone in no time at all. And you know what? The gravity feed weighs about 600 to 800 pounds. My FrankenCube on the pallet that it ships with weighs 170 pounds. So I can haul six to seven FrankenCubes, you know, for what it cost me to haul that, you know, that gravity feed around in my trailer. So I can operate off a much smaller trailer, much more lightweight. I can still be inside, have my air conditioning and all that stuff, power, running water and all that. And I don't have an 800-pound, 1,000-pound cooker hanging off the back of it. I can just run down the road with a, you know, less than 200-pound cooker. You can cook a whole contest on that one cooker, but shoot, for the price, you might as well get two of them and, you know, roll them things out. You know, you can kick it back, hold it with three fingers, you know, roll it around just like a rolly bin dumpster, like you take the trash out. You know, you just kick it back and roll it around, and you don't need anybody to help you unload it. You know, you got twice to three times the size cooking room that you would have on a regular ugly drum. So it really is the best of both worlds.
Now, for you guys out there with the one-liners, you know, oh, if you don't want to go to the backyard or if you want to, this is not a Weber Smoky Mountain, and I'll tell you exactly why. Number one, the grade's in a professional grade. You're not going to have a grade any stronger. You're going to have the same grade that he has in this thing. And number two, the square inches. I mean, this thing, how many, let's see now, you put like, how many Boston
600 square brisket? Inches.
How many Boston butts and briskets? You had it full.
Nine.
Full.
You could fit nine pork butts on it.
Nine? Now, if you try to do that on a Weber Smoky Mountain, you'll never do it.
No. There's a lot of stick burners out there you can't fit nine pork butts on. So.
Right. And you know what? A lot of those stick burners, even the small ones, will weigh 400 or 500 pounds, and try to load that on the back of your truck and watch what happens. So, what it is in a nutshell, and you know, all those cookers throughout the years have been good, and they're good now if you can handle them. I mean, it's not that I'm downing everybody, because what I'm saying is in the evolution of barbecue, this is the next step. And you know, everybody says it's only going to keep getting better. And so I'm, you know, reaching out to you and telling you that this is better. And I tell you why, you can truly use charcoal. You know, then you don't have people riffing you over here because, oh, well, that's an electric cooker. You're using electric. You can't do it without electric. There's a, you know, group of people out there that now want, you know, well, you can do it with this. Only use charcoal. Only use wood. Be out there with the backwood, you know, the old way of doing it, and still have, you know, you can get a good night's sleep, you can roll it around, you can handle it, and cook a high volume. I can't see, now, who knows, 2 years from now, somebody like Frank Cox, or maybe Frank Cox himself, is going to come out with something else that just, whoa, but for now, you know, Frank, man, I got to say, you did something good, buddy. You're up there.
Yep.
You know, this is the next one. And so get yourself a Frankie Cube. And, Frank, what's the best way to get in touch with you?
You can call my cell phone, 573-612-1315, or you can get a hold of me on email, frank@smokerbuilder.com, or you can chase me down on Facebook or wherever you want to go. I got all kinds of social media happening. Just look at Frank Cox or type in Smoker Builder, and you'll find me eventually.
Man, that's
so
big news.
There you have it.
Well, everybody, we appreciate you coming by tonight. This is Barbecue Superstars Friday Night Light, and we love every one of you. We hope you all have a great weekend, and I know Thanksgiving's coming. Make sure you reach out to your family and friends. And that's one thing I said on the Jan Charles show, and I say every year, is, you know, Thanksgiving and then Christmas is peace on earth and goodwill toward men. And it works. You know, if there wasn't a God, then peace on earth and goodwill wouldn't work. But for something, some reason, you know, God at the end of the year allows us to once again renew our families and renew our life. You know, when we pass from December to January, there is a point in there that once again you can come back and make a decision to try to better your life in the society that we're in and the way we're supposed to live. And call that family member. Try to make new reaching out to that person that you love to make that bond once again. Because I tell you what, folks, all the stuff we have disappears and goes away. You know, one day we got it, one day we don't, but our family is forever. And when you lose your family, you've lost forever. And nobody's going to remember you. And, you know, Jesse Jackson, for whatever he is, he said, there's two things you got to do. You got to live and you got to die. And if you look at your tombstone, you got your birth date and you got your death date. And in between those two dates is a dash. You know, the only people that's going to remember that dash, unless you become president of the United States, and 200 years from now, that'll be forgotten, your family. Your family remembers your dash. So what are you going to do with your dash this holiday season? And I want to implore all of you, and I want to beg onto your best side of you right now, and I want you to think, I'm going to reach out to that brother, that sister, that mother, that father, that cousin, that niece, that nephew. If your family only consists of a grandchild because everyone else is dead, then please, this holiday season, call, get in touch with that loved one and tell them, you know what, for the last 20 years it's been the wrong thing, but now it's going to be the right thing, and we're going to get back together again, and we're going to bond our family and try to be whole. Because you know what? That there, friends, is the American way. Well, this is Daryl from Barbecue Superstars on Friday Night Lights from Frank Cox, Smoker Builder, SmokerPlants.net, and Iron Man Cookers. We love every one of you, and we appreciate you coming by. Have a good night. We'll be back next Friday.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir.
has been a Barbecue Superstar Network production.